kept thinking about this race. This there was a five, I think it was either a 5K and a half marathon or a 5K and a whole marathon or whatever the case may be. But I remember telling me a story about somebody who started the race was going to run a 5K but took the wrong turn and ran the whole half marathon or the marathon. And they won it, right? Well, as I was getting ready, I kept thinking to myself, I know this guy's not 48. Because that 5K would have been like, hey, there's something wrong after the 5K, right? Oh, never mind, I'm sorry. Some of y'all are 40-year-old like monsters. I'm 48. I ain't running no half marathon not knowing it. So I got in the car this morning and I asked my wife, I was like, hey, that story, you remember anything you told me about this person that ran a half marathon or a marathon and took the wrong turn off the 5K? She goes, yeah, it was a small child. It's a young child. And when they come to the turn, they didn't turn. They just kept running and end up winning. I'm like, okay, now that's good because, you know, now it makes sense from God because guess what God says, come to me as a child, right? And as we run our race for God, there are times when we think we can only run this kind of race. We can only run this far, and we can only run this fast, and we can only run the way that we think we can run. But sometimes God blocks the turns that we want to take and puts us on a longer path, a harder path. But ain't it amazing that somewhere in this thing, he just got focused on running the race. Not what I can do or what I can't do. I'm just going to run my race until I see the finish line. And I kept thinking today, there's been so many times over the last few years that I only thought I can only run this far. But it seems like God has changed some signs and blocked off some of my exits and said, you can go a little bit further. You can go a little bit faster. And you can finish a whole lot better. Amen? In 2022, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a great burden that's got to shift in our church for this community. It's good for us to worship. We've got great worship here. And it's good for us to get a word. Hopefully we'll always have a good word here. That's variable. But we should be able to serve better here. We have a community that needs us. I think there's a lot of people in our community that are moving up here who think they're getting away. I'm going to get away from the city. I'm going to get away from there, and I'm going to move up there, and I'm going to get away. You know what? That's our ministry. They landed right in our laps. And we don't need to drive by another house and go, man, they're building another house up here. You know what we need to be? Go by and say, they just built our ministry here. Because if we believe God is an amazing, planned out, orchestrated, on time, online God, why would he be building us a building that can seat 500 to 700 people and then move everybody up here? It kind of only makes sense to me. Hopefully it'll make sense to all of us. But what we got to do is we got to take this worship and this word and go right out here into this community and apply it. Amen. Y'all ready for that? Hope y'all ready. Hey, Mark chapter 3. Today the message is titled Withered. Withered. I've never preached this before. I preached it this Friday or Friday night. And first time I ever seen it. First time I ever preached it. So I went through it with a group on New Year's night this year. And I'm going to go through it with you. I believe it's more applicable or applicable to the church than it is anywhere else. So Mark chapter 3, Flat Top Church, first message of the year comes Mark chapter 3, withered. And he entered again. Underline that word again. Jesus entered again. Jesus will come back to places again. Amen. It's amazing to me Jesus will go. Sometimes we'll say, well, why did Jesus go in there? Why did he frequent that place? Why did he go into the Pharisee's house? Why did he go into the temple? Why did he go? I don't know why Jesus just shows up certain places certain times, but I'm glad he does, and I'm glad he comes again and again. Amen. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. He had a withered hand. The man was a withered. He walked in, And he was easy to spot. Withered, there's a lot of things that have to do with a withered hand. And there's a lot of spiritual connotation to a physical connotation as far as the physical problem that Jesus was going to touch and make well has a lot to do with spiritual witheredness. We'll get to that in a minute. But if you have a withered hand, there's about three things going on. There's no strength. If you ever see anybody that has a withered hand, there's no strength in that hand. Amen? The hand is kind of pulled together, and it has no ability to grab hold and grasp and take, right? So there's no strength there. There's a lot of spiritual connotation there. It's like when you don't have Jesus, you really don't have no strength to grasp Jesus and grasp others. Amen? Can't grasp him. Can't get a hold. There's no strength there. Then there's no range of motion. Amen. The motion's ended. It's drawn back, drawn in, and it's pulled, and usually it's supported. Golly, I hope y'all get that. The hand, that withered hand, will be pulled in close to itself. When you're withered, you draw in and away from everybody else, and usually your good hand is a support. Amen. Y'all good? So there's a lot going on right there. So that when this man walked into the synagogue, when he walked in the place of worship, when he walked in the place of God, supposedly, he was withered. There might be some people in here, you're withered. You're drawn. The strength's gone. You're drawn in. And then that last one is the most important, and I love it, is there's no blood flow. That's what caused the no strength. And that's what caused the range of motion to go away. And that's what's caused to be drawn in and supported because there is no blood flow. Amen? If you ever have an injury, you ever have a wound, you ever have something, the doctors, the main thing they're going to try to do is get the swelling down, and they're going to try all they can to get the blood to flow back to that area where it can have range of motion and strength. Amen? That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get the blood to flow back to dead, withered, drawn up things. That way you can do what you're supposed to do. Have strength in the name of Jesus. Amen? Have range of motion. And praise God, you can tell people that you got good blood flow. Amen? So he walked in the synagogue that day, and everybody there looked at him, and he had an outward problem. Some of y'all, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're here. I don't know how you end up coming this way. But some of you, I know this for a fact, you've got an outward problem. Amen? Somebody knows about it, probably you more than anybody else, but church is a crazy place to have an outward problem. Amen? It is. Okay, let's just be real. All right, if you got a real bad outward sin that everybody knows about, amen? See, I like this because a lot of times church is the last place a person with a big problem will go because when they walk in here, they stick out. When this man walked in the synagogue that day with that withered hand, all eyes were on him. And they all went, he's withered. He's drawn back. He's got an issue. He's got a problem. He's got something wrong with him. You know what I love about that? God can fix an outward problem. That's, I think, one of the biggest mistakes the church makes is we hide our problems. We come in here and we hide our problems, our outward issues, we hide them. If they don't make Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, they don't make on the regular phone circuit, they don't get in the ear of the biggest gossip in our community, praise God, you might be able to come in here and go under the radar and know you have a problem, but nobody ain't saying nothing and you ain't either because you dressed up, you cleaned up, and praise God, last thing you want to do is the person that everybody's looking at the house of God. You know what happens? We have regular service. We come in, we go out the same. But the withered man, I don't know how he did it, and I know how God does. God is amazing like this. It's almost like he's always working on these two sides. When you got a problem coming, he's coming. Amen? And I guarantee you, at the synagogue, they never wanted Jesus to show up in the first place. They never really wanted him there. They thought, man, he's ruining everything that we believe. That's how Jesus does. He does that. He ruins everything about religious church. But this day it happened is the withered man walked in, and then Jesus came in right behind him. Ain't it kind of cool like that? Is there anybody in here was ever really jacked up, messed up, and Jesus touched you? I mean, Jesus got a hold of you, and despite everybody else looking at you, go, man, I don't know about that one. I don't know about her. I don't know about her. I just don't know if she's ever going to get it. I don't know about him. I don't know if he's ever going to get right. I had the opportunity to hear my dad pray for me. Before I got saved, I heard it come out of his mouth. God, I can't do nothing with this kid. I don't know how to fix him. I don't even know if I can. But I believe you can. I believe you will. Amen. And man, I had this, I didn't just have a wither. I had an out and out. I was the problem. Amen. How'd y'all end up with a preacher like that? I don't know. Watch this right here. Verse 2, the withered man makes it in there. Jesus makes it in there. Verse 2, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. What in the world is going on? What in the world is going on right there? The withered hand guy walks in the church. He's drawn back, no strength, no range of motion, no blood flow, sits down, and everybody's watching him and watching Jesus. They're watching Jesus to see if he's going to touch the untouchable. And if he does touch the untouchable, then they're going to accuse him of doing something wrong. Man, wouldn't that be a fun church to attend? Wonder what Jesus is going to do this week. Wonder if he's going to touch that person over there. I wouldn't touch him. He's withered. I wonder what he did to get withered. I wonder what he did to mess that hand up. I wonder if it was his mama. I wonder if it was his daddy. I wonder if it was his grandparents. I wonder if it was his choices. I wonder why he ended up with such a bad hand. And they're watching. Could you? I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm being honest with you. I can't imagine this because we go to a pretty cool church. I couldn't imagine going to a church where you're sitting there going, I hope Jesus touches him or we can get him out of here. I hope Jesus touches her. I hope she has the audacity to get help from Jesus today, because I tell you right now, that'll be the last week it happens here. Whole worship song. There's a whole time they're worshiping, they're all looking at Jesus. I wonder if he's going to touch him right now. I wonder if he's going to touch him through the worship service. Have you ever been touched by the worship service? Amen. Then you sit there, all of a sudden goes into the preaching. Well, I wonder if he's going to mess up the preaching. God, I long for the days when God starts messing us up. You know what I mean? I love the days when, I was going to sing this song. I tried to get through this song. Somebody, well, why do you like Scott so much singing songs here at this church? I like when he sings the songs that he can't make it through. Amen? I'm sorry, I just can't. No. Just keep trying. You know why? Because that's the beautiful ones. When you start singing to the Savior and you realize the Savior is who you're singing to and about, and all of a sudden the Savior becomes real and the worship becomes real, and all of a sudden you change. And everybody's like, man, they can't even get through a good song. Well, we didn't rehearse it. We didn't practice it. We didn't try to get it right for you. We was trying to get in the presence of God the whole time. Then the preaching. I'm afraid of preaching sometimes. I'm afraid that people will say, man, he's a great preacher. No, I'm preaching messages about a great Savior. There'll be a day when I won't be able to say a word, and thank God for that day. The best messages I'll ever preach are the ones where I followed Jesus in silence and was obedient. That's the best times with Jesus. And if he ever wants to wreck me, if he ever wants to end the message, if he ever wants to start preaching and let me sit down, I would love that day. I would love it if God says, hey, preacher, will you move over and let me do it? Because he is the great preacher. He is the great orator. He is the great speaker and the great healer. He is God and we are not. When he walked in the room, whoever ran the synagogue, who was ever the master over the synagogue, should have went to Jesus and said, you can touch whatever you want to touch. You can speak to whatever you want to speak. You can heal whatever you want to heal. You're God and we're not. But instead, they sit there in contempt. Listen, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. You need to change your heart and your mind on why you do church and why you do ministry. You need to come in the house of God saying, God, I relinquish every bit of my control, every bit of my mind, my body, and my spirit, and everything you've given me, I give it to you.
because you can do better with it than me. Because sometimes we think we can do better than God. We come in the house of God and say, God, I can do better than you. We're sitting, I just can't even imagine these men just sitting there. Could you see them? Looking at Jesus. Wonder what he's going to do. My heart is, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Oh, I wonder if he's going to touch that broken person. Do you know how many people that are in this church that are broken? That need Jesus on so many different levels? And they need a touch from God? And we think it's a success if we get in and get out on a timely manner. We need to get in and say, God, heal the brokenness that we can't see. And definitely heal the brokenness we can see. I thank God for broken, outward broken. I do. I love it because you know what? When you got outward brokenness, you can't put a wrapper on it. You can't dress it up. Amen? I used to take recovery guys, about 30 of them, we'd take them into a church. And we'd all sit in one area, and all the guys would go, man, we feel like we got a bullseye on us, man. We walk in that church, and we're the only ones with problems. You're the only persons in the church that everybody knows you have a problem. And that's a good thing. Because guess what? That layer of righteousness that we all have, it's destroyed in about 5 minutes in the presence of God. Somebody said this a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of hurt my feelings. But then I said, oh, man, it's right. So I've had some people say some bad things about me, and I was like, man, they shouldn't say bad things about me. But then all of a sudden, right past that, said, if they really knew who I was, they don't even know how real bad I am. Don't even know how real bad I am in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, in the eyes of the Lord, we are as filthy rags. Amen? Isaiah was a man of God. It was a prophet of God. And he got in the presence of God. He was a man who God spoke to him, and he spoke directly. There wasn't a Bible. He was the Bible. And the very moment he got in the presence of God, and he fell down and he said, I am as filthy rags before you. Oh, wretched man that I am. I will not defend who I am, but I will defend the fact that I have met the Savior. Amen? I am not a good person. I am not a good man, but I have been saved by my Jesus. I am a lot worse than you think I am, but I'm saved by a lot greater than you think you know. Amen? Ain't that amazing? Boy, ain't that good? We could have altar call right now and come and say, thank you, Jesus, for loving somebody like me. That old withered man, he was sitting there, and everybody's watching. Is he going to touch him? Is he going to heal him? Listen, I want you to know one thing. There ain't nothing you can do to stop what Jesus is going to do. Ain't that good? Watch this right here. I love it so much. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Woo! He walked. Man, haters on this side, haters on that side. Haters in the front, haters in the back. I mean, they're just sitting there hating on him. I wonder if he's going to do this or not. Jesus says, if there's only one in the house that really wants me, guess what? That's what I came for. He looks right at him. Come here. Just come here. Oh, just come. Hey, just come forward. Hey, man, listen. Jesus is not bothered. He's not worried. He's not distracted. He's not considering. He can deal with both problems. He can deal with a religious person who thinks they're in control and a lost person who needs Jesus at the same time. Man, aren't you glad that God is a multitasking God who's never set off course by anything we do or don't do? Praise God. He looks at him and said, come forth. Man, he's got this guy on the tractor beam. He's got this guy in the power. Amen. I love when God starts drawing on people and they can't help it. Have you ever been in a place where you can't help it? We need a case of that to spread through this church like anything else. I can't help it. Amen. I wish I could get some people that haven't said or won't say for a long time will say, I just can't help it. That was me. Amen. He said, come forth. Could you imagine? God turns the spotlight on the withered man and on you, on himself, and he's all right with it. Come forward. Could you imagine all the people on the other side? Look at him. Wonder why he's going up there to Jesus. Why would he get up like that? Why would she get up like that? Why would he get up like that? Why would they go to Jesus in front of everybody? Ain't that embarrassing? I've thought about that over the years. People talk about church folk. They'll call them, sometimes they call them holy rollers. They'll say, man, you ought to see them at church. They'll go to the altar and pray. They'll cry. They'll weep. Man, they'll act a fool. Amen? No, we become fools for Christ. That's what Paul would say. Because I come to the one who can heal and save and change. He looks like a fool because he's got that withered hand. Amen? He's got that withered hand. But he's coming to Jesus. Help is on the way. He's coming to Jesus. Jesus met him at church. Jesus met him at the synagogue. Amen? He's getting more than he bargained for. Have you ever went to church and got more than you bargained for? Come forward. I mean, man, of all the people, I bet he was looking around kind of like what I do sometimes, go, man, you could get somebody else. I mean, these other people in here, they got good hands and feet. Amen? Why don't you get them? They don't want to come. Amen? Some of the most blessed people don't need Jesus. Some of the most crippled people come to Jesus and say, you can have what's left of me. Amen? Come forth. Watch this. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they held their peace. Wait a minute. They knew the plan. They wanted to get Jesus. They wanted to accuse him. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to say bad things about him. But when Jesus calls it right out in front of them, right in the synagogue, he's got the guy they're looking at. He's got the problem that needs to be solved. He looks at him and goes, is it okay to do what I'm about to do? In their hearts, they were going, no, you can't do that. But their mouths were what? That's a beautiful thing right here. Jesus, he goes, I thought so. I thought you weren't going to say anything here. That's fine. Because if you ain't going to do it here, it ain't going to matter. Ooh, ain't that good? Some of y'all need to read that again. You're worried about what people are saying out there. You're worried about what people said over there. You're worried about they have said. If they won't get in your face and say it, they don't matter. God, I'm going to make a note for myself. Chris, make sure I write that down. All right, thank you, Chris. Watch this right here. But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, but being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Jesus looked around, and he was mad at the people that were whole. He said he was angry with them because of the hardness of their heart. He was about to heal the withered man. He looked around. I dare say, when I read that, it kind of blows me up a little bit because Jesus, we want to think, man, Jesus will just let anybody come and deal with anything they want to do. But you know what he did? He had the man standing right in front of him. He's about to touch that withered hand. He's about to change this man's life. And he looks at the rest of the crowd, and you know what he was saying? You think this man is the withered man. He's not. You are. You're the withered. This man has an outward, physical, withered hand. Not for long, but you're going to remain withered. I believe we've got a whole generation of church folks who are withered from God. They got no strength in their message. They got no range of motion with their actions. They definitely ain't got no blood flow. Amen? Because, man, you know what you do when you get Jesus and you got blood flow? You brag on the source. Amen? You brag on the source. I got Jesus. Somebody said, what do you got up there at that church? We got Jesus. We got the blood, the blood, the blood. Amen? And through the blood, we got range of motion. And through the range of motion, we got strength. Amen? Jesus is touching people up there. I love that. I love it. He looked around at them and he was going, wait a minute. You think he's the problem. That's not the problem. You're sitting in the house of God, withdrawn from God. That's the problem. When your heart's so hard that you've not bent to God in so long, when's the last time God baptized you in your own tears? When's the last time you shouted for joy? When's the last time you praised God for your salvation? When's the last time you told somebody in your family, you know what? All heck's breaking loose in this world, but God is still good. Amen. The withered man standing, he put his hand forward. Could you see him now? Can you see him? He's looking around them other guys. Man, you thought I was the biggest problem. Y'all got a problem. You know what the problem is? I'm free now. I got strength. I've got range of motion. I got blood flow. My God, this man right here is for real. You got a problem on your hand now because you got a witness. You got a Savior and a witness. But look what's happening. I want to show you this before we get done right here. Verse 6, and Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. What? They left the synagogue, went down to a worldly king, and made plans with him on how to destroy the king. They left King Jesus, went down the street, colluded with a false king on how to destroy King Jesus. You will do some weird stuff when you just don't want to surrender to God. Amen? You will do some weird stuff. You might want to write that down. That'll be prophetic in 2022. You will do weird stuff if you do not relinquish and submit and give obedience to Jesus. You'll find yourself going, well, I never thought I would do. And people will say about you, I never thought they would do that. But you will just do about anything when you're not obedient to Jesus. Amen? Boy, I wish, could we have testimony time right there? I'm sorry. Verse 7, but Jesus withdrew himself. I thought, man, what a weird word that is in verse 7. Jesus withdrew. Ain't the base word of withered, withdrew? What did they do? One man came, one. He got healed, he got touched. He became unwithered. But the body, withered, drew back from Jesus. Amen? So what did Jesus do to them? He withdrew. This is my biggest fear as a pastor of a church, that we withdraw from God and we try to do it our way, but then yet the worst thing happens is God withdraws from us. Amen? Jesus said, if you don't want me, I came and I touched the one who wanted me, but as a whole, you don't want me. So he withdrew himself. Man, I'm preaching better than you're letting on right here. I want to show you something. I want to show you where he went. Watch this right here. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem unto Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard what great things he did, came unto him, and he spake to his disciples that a small ship would await on him because the multitudes, lest they should throng him. I'm sorry, this is just a nerdy little point right here. Jesus said, hey, would you please get a boat ready right off the shoreline in case they start crushing me? Never mind, that's just cool. Jesus said, hey, there's going to be so many people that are coming that I'm going to have to probably step into a boat and get in the sea where they don't just push all over the top of me. But what I'm saying is when you read those names, of that list of those names of people that he went to, some people that were at the meeting who couldn't get in to the synagogue heard that Jesus was doing some work, and they just followed him on down to Tyre and Sidon. But see, Tyre and Sidon is one of the wickedest places in the Bible, especially during this time. As a matter of fact, it almost resembles a place of Satan, right? I'm preaching. Let's just right here. So Jesus went down to Tyre and Sidon because the synagogue wouldn't allow him to be there. So he left one of the most holy places, supposedly, and left and went to one of the most wretched places. And the crowd was so responsive that he had to make a plan to have a little getaway plan where he wouldn't get crushed by all the people who wanted him. But he came to the people who should have wanted him, but they made a plan to destroy him. So Jesus went down, and he's preaching and teaching on the shoreline, and people are so hungry for him that he makes a little getaway plan. Ain't that, man, that's just Jesus. Some of y'all have done this. Y'all are like, I can't believe they're having church over there. I can't believe they call that church. I can't believe they do that over there. You know why? Because God will not stay in a place that he's not welcome. He will not come to a group of people who have control over God. He will go down to the ratchety looking place. I love the word ratchety. He'll go to the most jacked up places with the most jacked up people and share himself with them, and they will fall all over themselves for Jesus. And they won't do it the way you think they should do it. They won't sound the way you think they should sound. They won't dress the way you think they'll dress. You know why? Because they just come to see Jesus. They just come to see Jesus. Down in Tyre and Sidon, they come out of the prostitute homes. They come out of the clubs, the bars, the honky-tonks. They come out of broken marriages. They come on broken families. They came who were raped and molested, who lied. They were coming out of their bankrupt. They were coming, but they just found out, hey, the synagogue don't want him, but praise God, Tyre and Sidon does.
I'll end it, I hope. What's this right here, verse 9? And he spake to his disciples. Verse 10, for he healed many. Well, look at verse 10. For he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. And when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Did you see that? He's healing people, casting out demons, setting people completely free. And then he looks at them and says, hey, don't make a big deal about this. Don't tell everybody. Demon possessed, the most sick of the sick people in the wicked of the wickedest places are getting saved, healed, and set free. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Don't say it. You know why he said that? Because it's impossible. Number one, it's impossible. If a man or woman who was demon-possessed yesterday got undemon-possessed today, she won't have to tell anybody. Because when she goes home, the devil won't go home with her. She could sit there at breakfast, have a bite of eggs, grits, and taters. Then everybody in the house will go, my God, my God, my God, my God. She's sitting there in her right mind, having breaks again, just like when she was a girl. My God, that Jesus. That demon-possessed man, for the first time, comes home, opens the door, hugs his children, and is present when he was never present before. He don't have to say a word. He's there. And when he says stuff like, I'm going to run down to the store and get some milk and bread, everybody in the house says, he'll be back. He's different now. And that sick person, broken in every way possible, withered hands, broken feet, bent over, cancer, sick, dying. Sitting in the house. Are you going to see the doctor? What doctor are you going to this week? What pills are you on now? What are you going to do? Who are you seeing? Which doctor are you seeing this week? We're not going to have to go to the doctor this week. Instead of going to the doctor's house, we're going to the house of the Lord this week. You won't have to tell anybody if Jesus is real in your life, because it'll start coming out of you. And people will start saying it for you. Then they'll start asking you. And you can say, well, Jesus came down to the wicked place and touched the wicked person and set the wicked person free. And that's why I'm here today. My God, church, in 2022, we want to welcome broken people. And we want to welcome a Savior who can help broken people, which we are chief of. We are chief of the broken people. As y'all stand as they come get a song. If God spoke to you this morning, let me say this. If you have a withered area in your life, be it spiritual or physical, just start making your way to an altar and seeking the Lord. He will meet you there. Amen? He will meet you there.